Hey, greetings, everyone. It's Brother Tupos from DontParish.com, John 4:24 Radio. I hope you're having a great day. Hey, I want to bring you our final verse-by-verse teaching in the book of James, chapter 2. I left off last time at verse 21. Today, we're going to do verse 22 through 26. Go to DontParish.com, look for the verse-by-verse tab, find all of my verse-by-verse teachings there, and you can get caught up in the James series or any of the other ones I've done. And after we get done with chapter 2, of course, we're going on to chapter 3. So let's get right to it. James 2, verse 22. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? All right, so context, go back and look at the last study I did verse by verse. James, Brother James, is talking about Abraham, the patriarch. And we all know the story, right? Or if you're a seeker, maybe you never heard of it. God told him he needed a sacrifice. He took his son, Isaac, into the desert. And Abraham thought he was going to sacrifice his son. And it got to the point where the knife was in the air as he laid Isaac on the altar. And we all know that God doesn't do human sacrifices in that way. And God provided a ram caught in the thicket. And that became the sacrifice. And here, what James is saying, I love this. This is good stuff right here. What James is saying is Abraham's faith, right? What did he say? His faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. We see that his works made his faith perfect. Let's look at this word, works, argon. It means a deed, an act to labor. Yeah, and I find this interesting. Jesus said in Luke 13:24, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now, that word strive is a word similar to ergon. It means agonizome, agonizome. It means to labor, to fight. Jesus said we're to strive and labor to fight it for the faith, and obviously that's having faith in Christ. And James is telling us by Abraham striving in his works, he perfected his faith. Paul said this in Hebrews 4:11, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man shall fall after the same example of unbelief. Faith and works prove a saving faith. Faith without works, we're gonna find out. What is faith without works? Alive or dead, we're going to find that out in just a little bit. That word labor there means effort, earnest, haste. So again, all through the book of James, we're seeing the theme, especially chapter 2, is not faith alone at all. It's faith that is proven by, we're going to get to the word justified in a bit, by works that is striving for, laboring for, pushing on for, right? So we're learning that you have to have works to back up your faith. Otherwise, what? Your faith is complete. It isn't a complete faith without this labor, this striving, this works to bring it to completion. You know what else it brings it to? I love this point. Makes it perfect. Let's talk about this. That word perfect is teleo. It means fulfill, accomplish, complete. You're completing your faith through your works. You're accomplishing your faith through your works. You're fulfilling your faith through your works. I just did a teaching not long ago on, I think it was close to 130 times the Bible talks about the word perfect. And in the New Testament alone, it told us as saints to strive to be perfect about 30 times. I think it was just short of 30 times. Go look up that teaching on perfection on the teaching blog at DontParish.com. So unless we're striving, as Luke 13 says, to be complete, mature, and accomplish our faith, it isn't a saving faith at all. You see how the two go hand in hand? Jesus said this in John 19:30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. That same word finished means fulfilled, Jesus labored and strived for us, did he not? He also had faith, didn't he? Yes, he did. Absolutely. Faith in the Father and doing the Father's will. So the idea that your faith stands alone, faith alone, is an absolute heretical stance per James. And as I've been showing you in this James audio teaching, it's a lie against many parts of the Word of God, Old Testament, and many writers in the New Testament as well. I like to think of salvation, you know, like a look at a three-legged stool. I like to think a chair, a three-legged chair. I think it's Jesus, faith, and our works. You need all three. If you got Jesus and works with no faith, it's going to fall over. If you got faith but no works in Jesus, James is going to tell us that faith is dead. If you got no Jesus but you have faith and works, well, what's your faith in? Three-legged chair will not fall over if it has Jesus, faith, and works. And when you say, well, that's not the full gospel, actually it is, because the works finishes out the gospel, right? Because you're going to repent. And the Bible says he gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. And you're going to walk in holiness and obedience. You're going to endure. So that's part of your work. So faith, works, and Jesus is what you need for salvation. And that's what James is teaching. So ponder that. Does your faith have that on a daily basis to lead you to salvation? Let's move on. Verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Oh, here's another awesome, meaty verse, right? So we've seen clearly that Abraham, by his faith with his works, is how he found salvation and righteousness with God, right? Galatians 3:6. Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. So it was granted righteousness to him, eternal life, via an imputation, right? James says an imputation. He was imputed unto him for righteousness. What does that mean? Well, it's similar to Galatians 3. It's to reckon, to make account of. It's an accounting term, like when you get your book straight, when you figure out what you owe or what you have, that type of thing. So here's the deal for all of us, saints and sinners. We have a sin debt we can't pay to the Father. Jesus can pay it fully. One sacrifice for all, the book of Hebrews says. Perfect Lamb of God, John the Baptist said. So by faith, with these works we're talking about, laboring, that completes our saving faith. He reckons or ransoms, you might like that word, it's biblical. He reckons or ransoms us back to God by a payment that is in full. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Christ who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God, right? Very important. That's how we get our righteousness. We can't work our way there, but works back up our faith that leads to that righteousness. It proves that we have it. Does that make sense? Works alone can never, ever save us. People say that we're works-based. How ridiculous. I preach all the time that we've all sinned. You could never work your way there. You can't atone for your own sin. People that say you're works-based are absolutely ridiculous. They're in one ditch, and the other people are the faith-alone people in the ditch that say your works, you can never do anything. Absolutely not true. You must do things in God. You must labor. You must work. You must strive. It's proof that you are born of Christ by his perfect work, and you're on your way via your fruit to salvation, right? Now, he talks about he was called a friend of God. That word friend in the Greek, companion, associate, familiar with. So to be a friend, I have a question. Do you have to know somebody? Yeah. You don't like not know anybody and say they're your friend, right? You got to know them. You're not friends with total strangers, right? So without Christ and the gospel and our faith and our works that back up our saving faith in Christ that lead us to the gospel and eternal life, we're strangers to God. We're people without a nation, right? And we're under the wrath of God. By Christ, we're known, right? We can become his beloved. We're accepted because of what Christ has done, the Bible says. And how are you a friend of God in even more detail? Well, Jesus tells us it's not by faith alone. It's by grace through faith. And James in this chapter and in other places is proving the saving faith is completed by works which is laboring in the kingdom in obedience. Acts 5 says he gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. And Jesus said this about being a friend of God. John 15, 14. You are my friends if you just believe in me. Doesn't say that. You are my friends if you go to church and you believe in faith alone. Doesn't say that. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You see faith and works and obedience tied together? Yeah, Jesus taught it. James taught it. Paul taught it. Peter taught it. John taught it. The Old Testament taught it. It's everywhere. This is making it so very clear. Unless you have your faith that is backed up by your works, your laboring, and your striving to perfect it, you don't have a saving faith. Go ponder that. Unless you have works and laboring, which is obedience, as proof of your saving faith in Christ, it's not being perfected, not being completed and fulfilled. Is that going to save you? No, it's not. And the Spirit has made us, God has made us, for good works. Ephesians 2:10. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Not just sitting around saying Jesus did it all. Not just sitting around saying we can do nothing. Not just saying you're filthy rags. Go look at my teaching on that. Filthy rags is a terrible, terrible, heretical, damnable doctrine. The filthy rags verse in Isaiah meant that the Israelites were doing good things and doing idolatry. And because they were doing idolatry, their good things were filthy rags to God. That's what that means. In many, many, many places, the Bible calls us to be righteous and do acts of righteousness unto God. Don't be deceived by all these evangelical false teachers. Verse 24. See ye then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Uh-oh. Yeah, this is the key verse, the linchpin that goes against the evangelical, Luther, Calvinistic, whatever you want to call it, easy believe, greasy grace, faith alone gospel messages. It's not in God's word. Nowhere in God's word does it teach you're saved by faith alone. Not one verse. Here, James says, you're not saved by faith only or alone. This is the place that God's word says you are not saved by faith alone or only. It says you are, it's teaching that you were saved by faith and your works and your laboring, your striving justify that saving faith. You're saved by grace through faith, but the works justify your faith. Not by faith only. Anyone who tells you this is a liar, a heretic, and a deceiver. One of those three. They know they are, or they just are a heretic and they don't know, or they're deceiving you. Justify, dikeo, means to render, make righteous, innocent. So hear me now. Be clear. Be clear on what I'm saying, all my detractors and haters out there. We need Christ's perfect sacrifice and his covering for our sin so that we can be made righteous and found innocent before God. We need that. The big question is, how do you get it? By faith alone? No. James and the rest of the Bible doesn't teach that. We get it by God's grace through our faith in Christ and his perfect work at the stake. Some people call it the cross. He died on a stake, a tree. He was cursed for us, according to Deuteronomy and Galatians, Paul says. And our works are required because they justify and prove that he's working in us. I'll give you a verse on that at the end of this teaching. He's working in us, and our faith and our works prove that. They go together. They're perfect. In fact, our works makes our faith perfect. Do you want to have a less than perfect faith, which means complete, fulfilled, and mature? Of course you don't. This is a lot like having a passport. And I remember when I went to another country, I'd have a passport. The passport itself gets you in the country. But often, an ID is needed so they can double check and prove you're the person on the passport. And the passport is the key to get in. So the ID proves you have the passport, but the passport gets you in. Hopefully that's a kind of a good example. Faith in Christ gets you into the kingdom. The works are the proof that you're of Christ. By faith to get into the kingdom. Ponder that. It's not complicated. If people would stop adding and taking away and teaching false evangelical doctrines and man-made theology, it's not complicated. Third graders understand If you love God, you should obey God. Third graders understand you can't fool God. If you're of God, you should be like God. I talk to children all the time, and they'll tell you that clearly. And the kingdom is of the children, is it not? It is. Satan and false teachers and carnal people who want cheap grace, easy believism, churchianity, they're not Bereans. They bought into this lie of faith only, faith alone. And it's not going to save them. By these words of James, they don't have a saving faith. If they're not living in holiness and obedience, striving and working for a saving faith, well, we're going to find out what their faith is coming up. Verse 25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Here, Brother James gives us a perfect example of a person having faith and then doing works to then prove that she has this faith. Go read Joshua 2, read all about Rahab, how she helped the spies get away, is proving her faith. And then, I'm not going to do it here, go read Hebrews 11. It will tell you about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and it lifts all these great men and Rahab up, women too, who had saving faith. And guess what they did? They labored in works as fruit that they had a saving faith. It was the proof. It perfected them. Yeah, it justified them. We just learned that too. If you want to be justified, you better have works of your saving faith. We're to example all these great men and women of faith like Rahab, not do what most people in America do, live in sin, worldliness, carnality, false religion, pride, vanity, all of that. They claim Jesus, but they say he did it all. We can do nothing, so we don't even have to try. They just made James and the rest of the Bible a liar. They don't have to work. They don't have to obey. They don't have to labor. They don't have to complete. They don't have to perfect. They don't have to fulfill their faith. Wow. That's like taking away from God's word. Get your name blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Be careful. For adding and taking away, there is a penalty. Verse 26. This is a sobering thing, by the way. Very sobering. Because I street preach every day. And probably 80% of the people I run into have that mentality. If they're of a religious nature. That you're saved by faith only. It's a poison that Satan has had the churchianity places swallow. It's a poison pill, and I strive against it because I hate every false way. Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. All right. Chapter 2 ends with James giving another great example. We all know what? You need a spirit for your body to be alive. Otherwise, what? You're dead in your flesh, right? Mark 15:37, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice and gave up the ghost or the spirit. His body was now dead until he was resurrected, praise God. It's a clear illustration of life or death. But if you claim faith in Christ and you have not works, which is laboring, striving, completing, fulfilling, justifying, obeying God to be a friend of God, James says, your faith is dead. Dead. That word dead means lifeless and deceased. So physically, that's what it means. But you know in the Greek what it means spiritually? Inactive as respect to doing right. Wow. Inactive as in respect to doing right. So if you claim faith in Jesus, but you're not actively striving to do what's right according to the scriptures in all your ways, Jesus said you must worship in spirit and truth, John 4:24. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Faith and love of him is keeping his commandments. Sounds like faith and works, does it not? It does. And let's be honest with each other. You can't read James or Jesus or Paul or John or Peter or the Old Testament, New or Old Testament, to not see that works and faith are tied together tightly in God's theology, his order, his ways that lead us to salvation. I just had a false teacher I saw him doing a testing on. He was talking about God's unconditional love. I war against that. I hear that a lot too. God has always been conditional. A marriage between a husband and a wife is conditional. Yeah. And God is not unconditional. And what is his condition? I'll give the grace. I'll even send faith. You believe, and then by my spirit, you strive and have works, then you'll be justified. That's the path. Christ did it all that was needed for perfection. Now we come behind by faith, and our works justify our faith. I don't know how many times I can say it. The inspired Holy Spirit, Word of God, said it so perfectly. Romans 2:13. For not hearers of the law are justified before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Sounds like faith and works, laboring and striving in the truth of God. And that law is not Torah law. That would be the law that we're to follow in the New Testament, the law of Christ, Galatians 6:2. We're keeping the moral law. We're keeping some the Ten Commandments. We're keeping some pre-Torah law. And we're keeping all the teachings of the New Testament, the New Covenant. Amen? So when you ponder this, we've gotten through James 1 and James chapter 2. In order to make faith alone or faith only for salvation work, you have to do what that baby-baptizing, Jew-hating heretic Martin Luther wanted. You got to rip out James completely from the Bible. You got to rip out Hebrews too. You got to rip out Revelation. You got to rip out parts of the other epistles as well, and then toss out a lot of verses in the Old Testament too. Yeah. Martin Luther hated the book of James. It totally refutes his faith alone, false gospel. And I hope this study in chapter 1 and chapter 2 is showing you that. I hope that you see that you must place your faith in Christ by that gospel, his shed blood, death, burial, resurrection for the forgiveness of sin and defeating death by repentance of all things that are against God's will and ways. You can become born again by the Spirit of God, and you walk in holiness and obedience. There's your works. And you endure. There's your works. And God's grace and God's spirit and God's word helps you all along that path. I know for me and my house and the saints I know and am united to, we choose to obey all of God's word. Why? It's for his glory. It's fruit that we know him. Christ is so worthy. We're saved by his perfect work. And our faith goes right along with his grace. That's what he wants. He desires and wants none to perish. And our works comes right behind to justify it all and make us complete and perfect us. Don't you want to be perfect for Christ after everything he's done for you? I do. And that's what faith and works together does. Perfects us, justifies us, and glorifies God, and brings us to the place where Philippians 1:6 says, be confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to keep working in you as long as your will is working with him, as long as you don't turn your back and forsake him and live in willful sin and don't repent. He's going to keep working in you, and you can have the hope of eternal life to come as your faith and your works prove it all out. That finishes chapter 2. Up next is chapter 3. Thanks for following along. I'm really enjoying these, and I hope that you'll go to don'tperish.com, see all the teachings on the gospel. I have each aspect of the gospel laid out. See thousands of articles, see street preaching videos, lots of witnessing audios, all kinds of resources. Why? We love God, we love our neighbor, we love the brothers and sisters. We want to edify you to get going, to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. We love you all. On the gospel road, preaching Christ crucified in van life. We're not worthy to do this, but we're striving. Hey, that's labor and works for our Savior, because he first loved us, and we love him so much. Thanks for listening. We love you all. May God be praised.